Welcome, Blindspot fans. We're going to be talking about the return of Rich.com, The Acadian. We're about to break down Season 2, Episode 7, Resolves 11 Myths, so stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I like that jam. It's like Rich.com would totally love it if he were here. Yeah,
he would have some comment to make about it.
Yes, I mean, like, he doesn't have for everything, but Rich. Guys, thank you for joining me. First of all, it's nice to have fresh faces here with us on the Blind Spot After Show.
What's up?
Yeah, so welcome everyone to the Blind Spot After Show. Thank you for joining us. I'm going to be your host, Gabriel Gonzalez. You can find me on Twitter at Double G on TV. And to my left, I have a new panelist for the Blind Spot After Show, Mr. Nick.
What's up, everyone? You can find me at NickMarty13 everywhere across the board.
And then over there, I have running the live chat, Michael.
What's up? You can find me at One Youngster. That's O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
All right, so guys, I mean, this episode, just that combination of, like, that ghost with Acadian and then have Rich.com, the complete polar opposite. Just what did you guys about that?
Yeah, well said. It was complete different. We had a guy who was moving in complete silence throughout the whole building. Then we have Rich.com who wouldn't stop talking the whole time, but I loved it.
Yeah, I love Rich. Rich is one of those guys that you kind of need in a show like this, because the show is very serious. Yeah. You do need that guy to kind of come through and break it up a little bit. I love his references. I love his kind of attitude. He's like this guy that you want to beat up, but at the same time, you're like, oh, come here.
I want to have him around. I still want to have him around, even though he's annoying.
It's like, I hate this guy.
Like, I like to hang out with him when we don't have any electronics around.
Yeah.
True, well said. Yeah, you give him access. They knew it. They were a step ahead of this guy.
I just found that really crazy, because either character could have carried the episode as the quote-unquote antagonist, but to have just both of them and how they deal with both of these forces is very interesting, and we talked about it, that it worked, because as far as the bigger storyline with Shepard and Sandstorm, we didn't really get too far with it, so we needed something to really carry the tension, how we felt about the team. But yeah, I really liked it. I think that they set it up well as far as keeping all the characters involved again. And let's just get right into it. So they're just hanging out another day at the FBI. Jane is trying to talk to Nas about Roman and, like, I think we can flip him. I think we can bring him to our side. Nas is still really lukewarm, and they're trying to talk about the bug that Kurt found. We're trying to talk about everything else going on. Jane moving on and trying to find a love life. And then the lights go out.
Yeah, maybe. Because she has no idea how to date.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
Which is funny, because you have Patterson stepping in like, I'm going to be the relationship expert. Yes. It's like, you should
and
not
you have Jane,
be
who doesn't even know what to do or how to talk. And she's like, oh, let me just take it over. He's like, yo, I don't even know how to talk to this
guy.
Like,
let me see your text messages. I think that was
he's asked you out like 8 times.
I always
funny.
Call
it was
them,
cool to see that.
You know, for the fans, the hashtag those Patterisms. And,
well said.
My favorite was when Patterson talks to, like, I remember my first date. It took him forever to stop crying.
that was good.
I feel bad for her sometimes, because I'm like, she's another one where it's like, aww. But she came through this episode.
Oh, she did.
She came through. Patterson. You did good.
She's always behind the computer, but she can... I'm waiting to see her in a good fight scene where she wins, just like hand-to-hand, and it's like, you know, have Jane come in and be like,
okay.
Even Crab at the end was like, the lab girl? The lab girl? He was embarrassed of himself.
This chick?
And she's badass.
Like, yeah. She's like, my mind is a weapon. What?
I love that.
Yeah, Patterson's cool.
She was the star of this show.
Oh, yeah, she is. She's one of my favorite characters, and we're going to talk about it.
She was cooler around the bomb than I expected her to be.
Right?
Because in season one, she was kind of like frazzled and stuff, but she was real cool.
Well, we're going to get into that. First, though, they obviously, you know, the lights go out as her and Jane are having that conversation, and we're reintroduced to Rich.com, which... I'm glad they brought him back, because, you know, season one, he obviously made a splash too, and to have him now while they're going through all these, you know, team dynamics, just what do you guys think of how they reintroduced him? Yeah.
In the room, in the interrogation room, he was immediately like, you don't get along, you don't get along, what happened? You guys don't even have a team dynamic going on right here. He called him out, so you pointed it out exactly.
Yes.
Rich is funny. Rich is that guy that you throw in when you know... you need to shake something up. Like, yeah. Everybody's kind of, like, tense. Nobody's really saying anything. It's like, hey, did you guys sleep together? It's just, like, out loud in front of everybody. It's just like, So he really shook things up.
Yeah, but and we talked about it. You are so sharp. You called just about every reference, even the ones that were, you know, maybe more obscure. And guys, definitely weigh in the comments, which was your favorite Rich.com reference. I liked the one where he's in interrogation. He's like, this is more awkward than when they replaced Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince.
You looked like you were a little taken aback by that, too. You were offended.
Like, oh, man. He went there.
Yeah.
Because they did, for you guys that watched Fresh Prince, I'm pretty sure you did, when they just brought Aunt Viv out of the blue. Like one season ended, regular Aunt Viv, and then another season starts, new Aunt Viv, and it was like,
And then they reference her with the guy, like, you know, Aunt Viv, you look a little different.
Yeah.
That was good. But then you were really excited. The Blacklist reference, that was another good one.
There was a bunch of shows I felt like were tied into this episode. Yeah. Blacklist. Then there was Bourne Supremacy, which I still think, and then I still think Mr. Robot, except a lot more humorous of a Mr. Robot,
right.
With the whole hacking and having fun with it, because he's so powerful with the computer.
Right, no, definitely. I think, I will say this, when you think about it, Rich.com probably watches more TV than the whole staff here at AfterBuzz when you really
probably
listen
some.
To them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the Stranger Things reference, and he's like, I'm already on episode 7.
Yeah.
What do you say, like, Barb was a smokehouse or something like that?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, Rich is a trip.
It was cool that they actually referenced something that's so relevant to today. It shows that they weren't filming, like, last year. It shows them that they were filming up to recent dates that Stranger Things was still really prevalent.
Right.
So that's cool.
No, they're keeping it, and I think they don't. Like, they finished wrapping not too far away from air dates. So, like, obviously not, like, last week they got done with the episode, but they do keep it pretty close.
A couple months ago, yeah.
Yeah, but then he's not even technically our main bad guy. He tells us, like, hey, I'm being hunted by this guy called the Acadian, and they paint that picture. He's that hidden assassin. He may not even really exist, but Rich.com is like, yes, I pissed some people off. It doesn't matter who, but he's after me. You got to save me. And like every, you know, kid on the playground who likes to talk trash but can't really defend himself is like, oh, I can make you guys do it.
I like it when they're about to throw him in solitary confinement. Oh, and they're like, if you don't say anything. And he's like, okay, I'll tell you. What was it? He was like, is the relationship okay between y'all? Oh, you guys are meant for each other. And then he got thrown in because he was just being too sarcastic with those guys.
I loved it.
Relentless.
And then, you know, like, they think it's Acadian coming out of the vent, and it's just him.
Yeah.
And
Indian style.
Yes. Yeah,
like, the guy, he's a compact guy. Like, he's very compact. He got in there, and he was just sitting there like, hey, guys.
It's me, it's Rich.
And then
he
called them red shirts. Like, that was another Star. It was a Star Trek reference. It was just funny.
This guy caught everything.
Yeah, you did.
I was like, red shirts? Wow. It was like, Rich is just funny.
He's good.
No, it was funny. And I think my favorite line from Zapata is, like, you know, he kept calling her Toots, and she's like, with his little paperclip to escape, he's like, you call me Toots one more time, I'm going to make you eat this. And he still tries to, like, you don't do that to her. She will shoot you. She shot Jane already. Shoot.
Yeah,
so, like,
she did. She shot her easy, too.
Yeah, so it's like, she will shoot you, Rich.
Yes,
go on. You haven't been here a while.
Yeah, Zapata don't play.
Maybe. Yeah, and so obviously we're going to get right back into, you know, how do they escape with the Acadian, but also at the same time, Reed, the detective Yamada, was looking into what happened with Jones, and there's that big mystery, and he brings the list of victims. You look for... Reed does not see his name on the list.
Because he made sure that tape was gone.
Yes. So
he was smart to take the tape.
Yeah,
he was very smart to take the tape. It saves him some embarrassment.
Yeah.
And then it also kind of confirmed what he already thought. And you don't need his tape to, like, know what...
To get Jones for the crime?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was, like, how many other names? Like, 20 other names or something like that?
A ton.
It was enough. Well, you didn't need one more tape.
Well, we'll bring it up. At this point, did you guys still feel like Reed was the one who killed Jones? Because they played with it, you know, last week, obviously, you know, he's standing over the dead body. It looked pretty bad, but it's like, you want to believe him because of the Zapata thing and how they have that trust, and he's just our good guy. He's always been, you know, one of the characters not necessarily morally ambiguous. He's always there to just be the, you know, Dudley Do-Right. So I think, like, you know what? I actually thought it still could have been him as he was looking, as he was getting angry.
I want to believe him. Yeah. I want to believe him for the reason of this show wouldn't have got a second season so quickly by the network if it hadn't been so good. That's why I feel like there's going to be a left turn. There's going to be a rug pulled out from under us. It's going to be somebody so in the opposite direction that we didn't know. And that's why this show consistently keeps us on our feet. Definitely. That's why I'm saying, obviously, they're leading us to believe one thing or another. But it's not going to
be. Yeah.
Yeah, and I thought it might even be possible, like, okay, did he block out another memory as an adult now that, like, he doesn't remember killing him, but the fact is he did. And, you know, because we understand he's having that issue, he's talking with Borden with it. But I like that, and of course, just because it's television, they weren't going to give us the answer right away.
No.
So let's talk about the Acadian's attack on the FBI center. I mean,
which was seamless.
Yes. He was like a ghost, wasn't he?
I was talking, it's like Hitman, the video game. That's what you packed. Did you try to get 5 stars?
That guy was good. Right? That guy was really good.
Hey, like, if you've ever played like a Batman video game, just like all the stuff he's able to do, like go in the air vent.
Costume change, everything.
Yeah, he's like zip line down and everything.
When he went into the guards and he grabbed one and all of a sudden shot one through the guard, I was like, yo, this guy's amazing. I said I'm on his team. That was amazing.
Yeah, like he not only infiltrated but took out what, like, 5-6 people?
Yeah,
and I mean,
without breaking a sweat.
Yeah. And even took on the, I guess, the lowly agents, which is Zapata and Reed. But I mean, he handled them pretty well.
Yes.
The fight scenes were really well edited, I thought too.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very well. And I don't think between those two, I don't think he got hit like once. And then of course later on
He took a few shots before, but that was just well choreographed, you know, fight scenes, which, you know, sometimes with Blind Spot, you know, they're going to give us some good shooting, but the hand to hand, I feel like sometimes it can feel a little subpar. This one though, it delivered. I think it easily, as a fight scene, like without guns, really, I think it was the best one in season two so far.
It was definitely the best one, because even I said in the beginning, I was like, Jane on Jane's fight was okay.
Yeah.
But then, as you said, it's the same actress playing this role, so she's fighting herself. So the editing was really hard. You had to have a bunch of doubles to play each other.
Yeah.
But this second fight definitely made up for it. I'm not even hating on the fight scene, but I'm just saying this second one was so good, it made up for anything, any fault that I could ever find.
Right.
Now, speaking of that, Ivan Soto in the chat said that, you know, he loved the fight with Jamie Alexander or Lady Sif on Lady Sif. I loved the part where they turned and, like, went to fight. Because it was almost like Street Fighter, where they, like, walked around each other and then squared off. I was like, cool. Now, of course, you know, some of the cuts were, you know, I feel that we should be further along in our you know, effects and the way we, like, edit things. But I can still get it. I can still get it.
Because the second fight made up for it.
Yeah.
You know?
The second fight, you were like, okay.
Yeah, it was just an awkward one to have, because you also know she's dreaming. She's having the dream, like, she's got the perfect life with Kurt and Roman and him get along and everything's good.
Like,
and
it's like, yay!
Yeah, you know, it's like, okay, well, we know what Jane ultimately at the end of the day wants. I think that's something very important. And they address it later, but we'll say now that it's something she knows she's probably not ever going to have. That's why she has that inner turmoil.
Never gonna get it, never gonna get it.
It's a fun romance we kind of get to see throughout the rest of the show because we saw the tension in the interrogation room that we saw Rich.com pulling out. But it's fun to know that we know what she wants. I'm not even looking at me, I'm getting all giddy. I know what she wants, but it's fun, you know? It's cool that we have this backstory on top of everything. A really hidden romance that we want to see play out, but we don't know if it's actually possible in the end.
Yes, and we'll talk about the big obstacle to that, a certain boss currently at the FBI. But how about that elevator scene with the Acadian and the bomb through the water cooler?
I said, how the hell can you get a water cooler in the elevator without being seen? But it's Acadian. He can do that.
Yeah, because I assume that on that floor, whatever floor he was on, he probably just killed everybody that was on that floor.
Right.
Or because they were evacuating as well. So he probably went to a floor that they were evacuated already, put it in the elevator, put it on the, you know, hit number 10 or whatever floor they were on, and then set off the the, you know, urinal cake.
I do love it when we get all MacGyver-y on making a bomb. Like,
yes.
He found it. Like, she pointed out three different rooms that he had to go to get everything that he needed for the bomb. And it's pretty cool whenever you see somebody put something together last second. And apparently, the lab girl, once again, knew how to take it apart, even though she failed.
Right.
But she knew a little bit.
But she did slow it down enough to not get killed by it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me see if I broke down the science correctly, because she used the hand sanitizer to water down a bit the solution, so if you jostle the actual physical water cooler, it's not going to go off. But there was still that electric explosive aspect to the bomb that they thought they cut the right wire, and instead it sped it up and, you know, boom.
Yeah,
it's either that, I remember it was something to do with the alcohol or something like that.
Yes.
But pretty much, look, Patterson's smart. She did it.
Yeah, I was helping out with the science, but I failed it twice in school. So I'm just going to say, science.
Right.
She did it. End of story.
She's smart. That's all we need.
I'm not going to lie. I cheated off the Patterson back in high school to get through the science.
Me too.
Back then.
I'll be real.
There we go.
Yeah, me too.
All right, maybe I did a little bit, but I mean, hey.
It's good to
That's why we're a good team already.
Yeah. Hey, we understand our strengths. We understand when to pass it on.
Yeah. That's why you need Patterson on your team. Like, smart stuff. Patterson.
Yeah, and you know, okay, I also got to say this, because we saw that scene that they've been teasing for 2 weeks, and, you know, the teaser at the end of each episode, mm-hmm. Patterson goes down, Kurt Agent down. We all knew they're not getting rid of Patterson just like that. She's too much of a fan favorite.
Also because they fake killed her. Like, twice before already?
Yeah, like, they've had her hurt.
Yeah, I think they've had her hurt, like, twice already. And I guess it's easy to pretend it's Patterson because she doesn't...
Are you counting today's also?
Well, no, not today's also. I want to say there was twice... There was one... I feel that there were two times in the first season...
She'd been in trouble before, yeah.
...killed her. Because, remember, wasn't she at the, wasn't she at that, like, house, that cabin in the woods or something? And we all thought she was done for.
Or something, yeah. She had to help the little girl escape. No, but I feel like, what is it? Damn it, I lost it. But raising the stakes. Like, which, I think, character out of all the team members do you feel like, you know, needs the most protecting, that they're most affectionate for, that fans love the most, so that's what's going to piss them off? Patterson. If something bad happens to Patterson, it's like, oh my god, it got real.
She's the most innocent. She's the most lovable character. She's the most relatable character.
Yeah.
We don't all have memory loss of being an assassin. We have this nice girl in all of us.
Right?
You have a nice girl.
Hey, we all, like, everyone's got a Patterson in their life that's like, you know what, we love you so much.
Yeah, because she's not really... You know, she doesn't hold any grudge against anyone.
Right.
She's, you know, like you said, she's that innocent character where
she was taking apart a bomb and she was trying to give dating advice in the same episode.
And I mean, just to add to her character, and she's about to shoot at Acadian too if she needs to.
Baller.
I mean,
is she single?
Man.
Well, she's seeing Dr. Borden if he messes up, you know. But I think that's something, and I almost want them to be careful of that, because, like, okay, we love Patterson, but I feel like as a device, like, okay, what'll raise the stakes immediately for everyone, including those watching? Hurt Patterson.
Yeah.
Like, don't reach into that well too often. I think, even like this week, like, you knew that nothing bad was going to happen to Patterson like that. If something does happen to Patterson, it's going to be part of the big, you know, Shepherd and Sandstorm storyline. Imagine if Roman shoots her as part of the plan. Imagine if Shepherd does it. It's going to be a game changer. It's not going to be, you know, a one-episode villain who does it.
No.
Yeah.
If they were to do that, I think there would be a lot of backlash. Patterson has to go. If she does go, she'll have to go in, like, a very heroic way.
Yeah.
It'll have to be, like, something that she's protecting somebody or leading the killer in the wrong direction or, you know, something like that.
I want to see your thoughts right now about that. What would you do if Patterson actually was gone away with the show? Let me know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's right. I'm interested to see. Let's
I feel like, I'll say now, I feel like a lot of people would, like, oh no, you can't do that, you know, we'd be out.
Yeah, because we don't have another character for her. Like, we don't have another kind of, like, you know, altruistic type character.
Yeah. So, I mean, even, like, when we think about it, let's say Reed or Zapata, if something happens to them, I feel like it would have an impact on the team. I don't think emotionally it would add the same things, like, they lost Patterson. Like, you lose Patterson, I feel like everyone has a public mourning, whereas let's say they lost Reed or Zapata, I feel like they'd have more of a stone-cold resolve just because of how these characters impact the team. Do you guys agree with that?
It's like losing... it's like... they're all. Everyone is super serious besides Patterson.
Yeah.
So, like you're saying, losing a serious character, we have 12 more in the show, you know?
Yeah.
Patterson is the only kind, innocent girl, like I've been saying. So that's only one character in the whole show. I mean, you could say Rich.com is also like a nice guy in the same thing because he's a lovable guy as well. Because, you know, you're like, oh, he's a guy. You don't want to just...
I will say this. Is he entertaining? Yes. Lovable might be... I need a different adjective.
But we know what you're saying.
He is certainly fun to watch. I'm not going to take
even
that away.
Even when he got arrested and he was in the van, and I saw the police with really tight shirts on. Remember I said
that? Yeah, I was like...
I said, why are the police uniforms so tight? Right. Then he said, thanks. I was like, oh, okay.
I was like, is this a setup? I was like, yeah, it's a setup.
He sold that emotion really well in the interrogation room. When he was really sad about Crab dying, he was like, oh, he died in my arms. He got teary-eyed. That's why I was like, wow, he went very, like, funny to teary-eyed really quick. Well, I get it.
Well, we'll get to that one, but when I was watching the interrogation and he kept saying, it doesn't matter who pissed off, you know, who's trying to kill me. The fact is, you got to stop Acadian. And that's when I thought, it's like, I don't think it's whoever he said, Russia, whoever.
Kim
I thought it's like,
or whatever.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I still don't believe
his wife. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, like, Rich, you're the one who tried to get Acadian. That's why he's trying to kill you. It's not a third person. He personally wants to kill you. That's why he's doing this.
Yep.
And you were right. You were right.
Exactly. Yeah. Because he even said sarcastically, like, yeah, Kim Jong-un, he can't outsmart me. It's like,
you called it in. You called it. I want to say, like, maybe 12 minutes into the episode. You called it really early. Well done.
You know, I got to take my victories
he
when
paused
I can.
And he was like, this is happening. It's point like, A,
I,
point B.
Hey, you know, here's the thing. Like, if I say it after the fact, it can be like, it doesn't count. You just thought of it.
He had to say it early.
Are you a producer on the show?
Shh. It's a secret.
Can't tell.
It's like, we got him.
Just like the show. Everyone's got secrets.
No, but okay, so... another great fight scene. Obviously, they stop Acadian. I almost found it a little ambiguous. Like, Kurt was trying to stop him from stabbing him, but then did he stab himself to avoid getting caught? That was such a weird scene and grab that he had him in. But yeah, and I even thought, is he about to come back to life? Like, you know, it almost felt too simple when you see the fact that he's just dropping bodies everywhere.
It's unfortunate when Weller jumps in and all of a sudden Weller ruins it after all that work that she just went through.
Right.
He just grabs a knife all of a sudden after everything.
It's like, you know, it's like Jane is like, excuse me, after what I just went through, you better let me be the one to kill him.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. This, it's like, funny? I think that we don't need him as much as we think we need him.
Acadian or Kurt?
So we could kill him. Oh, Acadian.
Oh,
so
it's okay,
like,
yeah.
So kill him. He's like, nah.
I was getting scared about the vial. I was personally, because if you looked over, we were looking dead over there.
Right? It's like, oh, man.
And three vials?
Man, I think Kurt had it on lock. That's why he just killed him. He was like,
And here's the thing. I'm not going to lie. I actually wouldn't have minded if, let's say, you know, they show him stabbed, but then the team's like, it's over. They go back to focus on Zapata, and when they come back, Acadian's gone, and it's like...
That sounds cliche, though.
It would, but then, like, a character like that, like, I kind of like the idea of a threat out there like that, and how could he come into play later?
Because I don't think this show really has that. Well, we have Sandstorm, so we don't need, I guess we don't need a other...
But someone, like, hand-to-hand could easily take out, not just, like, a Jane, but Roman and the whole team by himself. Like, that is a fun character to have out there just in case of something.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so let's get... All right, so the... not the Sandstorm, but the Rich.com storyline, essentially. Okay, he tries to escape. Kurt sends him off to jail. Like, yeah, you're not getting away. Like, you talk about the switch-up. So we find out... Boston Crab? Which is a...
Boston Crab.
It's a weird name to just say bluntly. Like, yeah, so he said Boston Crab, you know, died in his arms and... You know, it's because of Acadian. We realize the guy who is Boston, he was the one who calls Rich Reset.
And that's what we do.
Somebody said Sandstorm, I'm sorry.
I was like, huh?
Sandstorm.
I love that, Jim.
It's like, oh, yeah.
It's like, huh?
That was good. I like that.
I love surprises. No, but I guess, yeah, I can't even sum it up now, but pretty much he...
Sorry, when I hear EDM, I just get really lost.
Just get lost. Now. What happened?
But pretty much Rich.com, he did a fake out on the FBI, and it turns out Boston was now breaking him out. Now that he used them to kill Acadian, he's like, okay, I'm free. We tricked him again. I made it. And what'd you think of... Okay, of all the references, and then Patterson's the one that's like, that's how Dobby dies at the end of Harry Potter. And it's
oh,
like,
we were laughing. We were all laughing
yeah,
at that.
Yeah, because, like, Boston was like, hold up, so you made me Dobby? Yeah.
And then they have that nerd argument, like, you know how many characters die in that series, and you pick my death to be Dobby's?
Do you know what I actually catch on to every time, though? It's, like, so minuscule, but I always feel like the more powerful of a villain or an antagonist... You don't actually handcuff them. Do you notice that in movies usually? And they arrested him, which means, is he not that powerful actually? Because in every movie, if you really think about it...
By like powerful, you mean like physically able?
No, very, very...
like as a threat in general.
As a threat. The higher the threat level, usually they don't arrest them.
I think it's because he's more of a... Rich.com is more of a like chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
Like he's not really... good or bad, he's just...
I mean, he certainly can
just
cause
a pain
trouble.
In your side. Yes. Yeah. He's more of a pain in your side than...
True.
You know,
I was just curious,
actual
just,
true villain.
I guess because he's so juvenile in his attitude that when he kind of comes up, it's like, okay, you're saying that he could technically end everything for the FBI, but it's like, you just don't feel like it's that threatening. You're more like sick of his personality. You care more about shutting him up than stopping his crime.
Yeah. More of putting a muzzle on him rather than...
And also, he showed off, maybe they're like, you know what, just keep a few guns and eyes on him rather than worry about cuffing him, because, I mean, he escaped solitary.
Yeah, that's true.
Easily.
In Indies style. That's what I'm still going to point out. He was sitting there. He didn't crawl. He wasn't, like, on all fours. He was sitting there like, hello.
he was just in there hanging out. He was too comfortable.
Yeah, well said.
No, but he's still alive. He's in custody, but, you know, they've brought back characters who've done less than Rich and used them later, so it's not out of the question that maybe down the line... I mean, I wouldn't trust, say, using Rich.com, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does make an appearance again before the season is out, just for whatever purpose they need him for. Now... Getting into it, and you touched on it, you know, what's going on with Zapata, the three vials, and obviously Acadian, before they catch him, he takes Zapata and uses, you know, her to be like, hey, I'll give you the cure for her after he injected her with the toxin, but you gotta give me Rich.com. The team doesn't want to mess with that, but Reed, obviously, we gotta save Tasha, we gotta save her. And we talked about this because, I mean, the last episode...
I was waiting for Reed to be like... I love you, Zapata.
Yes. You know, when they get to her.
Please, Tasha, don't die. I was waiting for that to happen. I didn't get it, but I'm still waiting. Look, Reed and Zapata have to get together.
I agree.
Especially last episode when he peeped her out a little bit. He was like changing. He was like, what?
Do it for AfterBuzz.
I know. Like, I mean, like.
Do it for AfterBuzz. Write it and just.
Not literally, just show some romance.
Hey, yeah, show a little romance. Don't do it, but, you know.
Audrey Esparza in that scene, she's doing what you need to for the ratings, man.
Yeah.
That, she, you know, you're the real MVP kind of deal. But no, just, okay, I actually thought that Nas was just going to be like, you know what, I'll take my chances, just grab a random vial and shoot her with
it. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, but they were clever about it. So Reed is like holding Zapata's hand. How convenient.
Yeah.
And she's tapping the Morse code, which one to pick out. And yeah, you touched on it. She did heal up really quick.
I know. I was about to say that. You were like, Nick, calm down. Because I was like, okay, really?
It's the power of love, man.
Really?
It's the power of love.
It could
it's
be.
The power
she
of
felt
love.
The heartbeat. And you're like, just
like,
too fast for me.
She's like, oh. I feel like...
Hey, imagine if, like, let's say they over-dramatized it even more, like, she injects her, and she's still out, and Reed is like, I love you, and then she... That would have been like,
oh
don't
God.
Tell me you did
that. I would have
that.
Given her the other vial right away.
Like, here.
Like, oh, no, you didn't
Nick
just
ruined
do
the show.
That.
Oh, man.
That's funny. Do we have anyone in the live chat, you know, strong thoughts
saying,
on this episode?
Everybody loves Dobby. We have Miranda Darcy saying that the doc is the mole. I agree with you last episode, but this episode, I feel like the mole has to be someone that was in the room when they told the story about her, you know, taking the data
yeah.
out. Well, so, and since the doc wasn't in, you know, since the doc wasn't in the room, maybe not, but that psychiatrist, I don't know if I trust him like that. I don't know.
Well, let's throw out some, you know, final questions, and I think, you know, for predictions, that can probably take the brunt of it, but Reed and Zapata, okay, we all agree it's gonna happen by the end of this season.
I feel like everything after that...
It'll happen.
Yeah, I feel like it can't.
I don't mind.
Because they're looking to... I feel like they both are looking for someone that they could just trust unconditionally, and they are that person for each other. Mm-hmm. They've just known each other a long time, and they're getting closer. It's all subtle. So I feel like, you know what? It's gonna feel like a letdown if they don't address it a little bit. You guys know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah.
Then another person, so Jane reaches back out to Oliver Moore, who we met a few episodes ago as the environmentalist, and he's holding the fundraiser. And you know what? I felt like, okay, is he maybe part of a, you know, the more serious plot with Shepard and Sandstorm? Like, is he one of their agents? Because, okay, this is someone now that Jane is trying to bring in completely unrelated to Oliver drama.
True.
But what do you guys think of that scene that, like, you know what? She knows she can't have a regular life. What do you guys think of that?
I guess Jane should know. You know, she should kind of know, like, I can't do this stuff. But I do feel for her because I want her to be able to, like, I don't know, just go to the movies or, you know, just regular people
like
stuff.
Like, she does deserve to be happy.
Yeah. You know, to just do regular people stuff. But it's like, yo, man, you're not a regular person. People don't watch TV for regular stuff. They watch TV for super stuff, all right?
I'm the one who points out the bad the things that bad happen.
But nah, I do think that she can have happiness in a way, but I think that she's going to have to kill her brother.
Ooh.
I think that she's going to...
Can I get a Roman, dun, dun, dun? Damn.
Roman has crossed to the dark side, and I don't think he's coming back.
That was perfect, Steven. Thank you.
So, no, yeah, that's what I think. I think she can have happiness, but she can't have all of it.
Okay. She can't have her cake and eat it, too.
She can't have that dream. She can have parts of it. She can either go to Sandstorm and sort of have, like, the brother thing, or she can have Weller, but she's not... It's not going to be, like, you know, barbecues in the backyard.
Oh, man.
Well, as that music plays, though, Zapata had one more steal. She goes into evidence lockup and she robs.
I'm just jamming. I'm just jamming real quick.
Hey, you know what? We can close out with that song. I think that would be great. But no, okay, she gets the knife.
Yes.
And we all thought, okay, it's going to be the missing knife from a few episodes ago that Reed had. And it's like, wow. I thought Sandstorm is going to great lengths to frame him.
Yeah.
Or he really did do it. I felt like those were the only two options. She gets it, she gets out with it, and we realize it's the song, not the song. Look what you did to me.
See, Steven?
It's the knife that Freddy had when he left the apartment when Zapata kicked
Which
him out.
Which now leads me to believe that Reed was there when he killed them. I think he got there right when the guy was stabbing him, or like right after. That's why he was there when the body was
so you
fresh
think he knows
to a certain
it's
degree.
Freddy and
yeah,
he's covering
I think he
for
knows.
Him
yeah I
okay,
think he knows
okay.
I think he saw him kill him and was like okay run and like that was, so I think he was there when Freddy killed him, so he doesn't want to give him up, but at the same time he doesn't
because
want to
it's what happened with Jones. I mean, you know, they've been trying to get justice.
I'm seeing this blowing up right now, the comments.
Yeah,
and I have to tap on a couple things. First of all, somebody just said how Rich was arrested 3 times in
or
the show.
3 times, yeah, yeah.
So I really want to say, look, this is the he was handcuffed 4 times in this episode. Does that mean he's about to leave again? I mean, it's just that was
the
a good
dude
point.
Is, the dude is like a magician. He like is. The guy's just like he's in the
Chris Angel, David.
So
Blaine.
If he got out 3 times, that means he's going to be back in the episode soon enough because that has to be a 4th time.
Yeah, it's like the guy is just crazy.
I hope to see Ivan. Roman is reachable. The song did it. They love the song. They love the song.
The song did it, man.
We'll go back.
No. So, yeah, it's... I do think Roman's going to the dark side.
I can agree.
Either James gonna have to kill him, or maybe they both together end up killing their mother. Yeah.
Here, let's go ahead, let's do some predictions and let's talk about it, because I think there's only one big question we gotta ask.
Yeah.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions. Right?
What?
10 points for being in sync with that many
or
fingers.
Or for Gryffindor.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking Harry Potter.
I like it. All right, so the episode ends. Roman gets the 911 from the mole that says, okay, meet me here. He gets the message. Jane is loyal to the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
Patterson said she did not get any hard data from the microchip, but the papers Roman gets have whatever data she did recover.
Yeah.
Okay, that obviously would be like, Patterson's lying, Patterson is the mole. I don't know how I feel about it. I feel like that's a red herring.
Yeah.
But they do make it very hard to argue against it because of that.
Well, I'm figuring it has to be someone that maybe has access to what Patterson has. I feel like a great mole is someone who's like a low-level guy.
Okay.
Someone maybe that we haven't met in the series yet. Somebody that's just kind of like does regular, like, I don't know, database updates. Like, okay. Just a normal guy that you don't realize.
That's interesting.
Because, I mean, or someone like that works in like HR. Like, that would be a perfect person because they know who has vacation time, who's in, who's out, what shifts they work.
I think it would be someone at the top. Every movie and TV show is always the top dog.
Because I gotta say this, I feel like if it were a random person, it wouldn't feel like a good enough payoff, because this season, the entire team feels even closer than ever because they're all trying to find someone they can really trust with all this drama going on. So I feel like the idea of one person betraying the rest of them, that's going to be heartbreaking, not just for, you know, the team, but also the viewing public, like, no, it can't be them.
If you think about Scooby-Doo... Okay, it is always It is always the person who is most run across by the team.
It's true, right?
Whenever you unmask him, it's always the person most involved. They're like, hey guys, hey, how you doing?
You mean
you're telling me that it's always the Globetrotters?
The Globetrotters.
I was gonna say when they're at the farm and the scarecrow monster is always the farmer kind of thing.
It's always the main character.
Here's the thing. Let's say we don't agree it's Patterson. Think it's a red herring.
I think they're trying to push us to think that it's Patterson. But that leaves us Zapata, Nas. I don't think Nas.
I feel like Nas is too obvious just because she has that. Okay, I actually want to say that it's Zapata, because she's been getting so much more book smart, and I feel like we're getting more attached to her because of the situation with Reed.
Yeah.
So right now she's my pick. Also, she's been just more badass, shooting people down, shooting her own team.
She's also been turned before.
Yes, so more formidable overall.
We're getting a prediction here that it's Weller.
Ooh, well,
that's dirty.
Just too close to the center, I feel like.
A sleeper agent like Dollhouse, great representative.
I like that.
Good job.
I brought that up, it might be.
But Ivan, even though I think that's a great reference, I don't agree with you on Roman. He cannot be changed. He has turned to the dark side. He will never come back.
I agree with you. I appreciate the fans.
I feel like they're going to put Roman and Kurt, I think, on the opposite sides, and Jane is going to have to deal with the repercussions of taking out the other. But, okay, so I got Zapata. You know, Michael, just who do you think is the mole right now?
I'm leaning on Zapata. I think they're doing, it's got to be the gambling stuff or maybe some family stuff. They know she can already be leaned on. So I think they're just doing the same thing that dude from the CIA was doing. So
okay.
I think it's her. What about you?
I think Zapata could be in more debt than we realize or that they're showing, and that's her only way out, which is possibly helping the other side.
Okay.
Possible.
And I guess, all right, so final prediction. We saw also that scene, Nas and Kurt. She wants to get Kurt's trust, and they have another nice little moment. They have that nice little lip lock, and it's like, well, that puts a real wedge between the Kurt-Jane romance, but I don't know. Could Nas survive this season, and, you know, suddenly she's not there anymore? I don't know. And let's say Sandstorm takes her out. Well, how does Kurt feel about that if it's Jane responsible?
that's interesting.
So what do you think? Do you think it's something that's going to last for a long time, or do you think it's going to be a short-lived romance this season, Nas and Kurt?
Because of a death?
You know, any reason.
I don't think they'll work out because I don't think they can get past the whole like surveillance stuff. Because remember, Kurt couldn't really get past the surveillance stuff with because
Nas bugged Dr. Borden's office.
I couldn't. What was the last? The last chief or
Mayfair.
Yeah, he couldn't get it past it with Mayfair. So I think that's going to be their point of contention. And I don't think maybe a couple of more
episodes.
Couple creeping in the evening, but nothing. Not the
DL. I think it can hold out to the last episode. Something extreme happens.
So like to the mid-season finale before the holidays?
Yes, before the holidays, and an extreme death maybe happens. Ooh. Something, because the next episode, I don't want to jump too ahead, the next episode is completely action-packed.
Right, Kurt, yeah. So what's going to happen? So I could expect,
if that's going to be that much action in the next episode, imagine the last episode or second to last. Dirty stuff going down.
I like it. Well, definitely, we're past the halfway point for, the mid-season, toward the mid-season finale, so it's going to ramp up. I really hope we get really start to focus in on Sandstorm, because I feel like we've just been teasing it too much. It's time to get there. So, yeah, Steven, if you want to play the song again, yes. What's Phase 2?
I'm ready for it every time we say Sandstorm.
I'm ready for it, too. But, yeah, so, guys, I'm Gabriel Gonzalez. You can find me on Twitter at Double G on TV. We'll be back next week. Nick, where can everyone find you on Twitter?
I'm NickMarty13. It doesn't matter. Just dance the night away.
Yeah, Michael, go ahead, man.
Hey, Twitter, Instagram, One Youngster, O-N-E-Y-O-U-N-G-S-T-A.
Awesome. We'll see you guys next week. Take care now.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.